National Radio Club.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for October 2010, where this month we present a real Market Scope. Tim Hendel signed along air checks from Huntsville's major AM stations, omitting those that were not a major player. Here's Tim with your Huntsville Market Scope update.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim Hendel for the DX Audio Service, bringing you a Market Scope from Huntsville, Alabama. When I hear radio stations, I like to know where the place I hear them from is located. So a little geography may be in order. Huntsville is a city of about 170,000, so it does not rank among our nation's, quote, big cities, but it's not a small town either. I would certainly describe it as a medium-sized market. We are located approximately 100 miles south of Nashville, or 100 miles north of Birmingham, so we're halfway in between. Although neither of those radio markets really influences Huntsville that much. The county where we are located is called Madison County, and the northern boundary of Madison County is also the northern border between Alabama and Tennessee. From east to west, we're about halfway across the state from Mississippi to Georgia. And Huntsville is nicknamed the Rocket City because of NASA and the Marshall Space Flight Center and all of the space activities which go on here, including Space Camp, which you may have heard about. The Saturn V rocket, which took us to the moon, was built here in Huntsville, and they tell me that there was dancing in the streets on July 20th, 1969, when we landed on the moon. We're going to look at the AM dial and perhaps in a future report the FM dial. And for the most part, we're going to concentrate on the stations in Huntsville with a very few exceptions. This doesn't cover, of course, all of the stations you can get on your AM radio, especially if you have a good AM radio. This covers the stations that may influence this market. And we're using the C-Crane CC Radio 2. Mainly because it has a nice line-out jack, which makes it easy to record from. And I'm using a Radio Shack portable recorder, the CTR-121, which is very simple, but a real workhorse. Our first stop is going to be 650 WSM in Nashville. It's the only Nashville station I'll bring you because, as you can see, it has a good signal here. I think all of you who are into radio know about WSM, so a lot of explanation isn't necessary. Of course, they're the home of the Grand Ole Opry, and they carry country music during the daytime. About 10 years ago, there was actually a move by the management, Gaylord Entertainment, to change the format of WSM AM to all sports. By the way, they also have an FM at 95.5, which does not simulcast. Well, there was practically a riot in downtown Nashville. One of the few occasions I know of where a radio station actually evoked so much emotion among its listeners that they went to the streets and protested. Like so many 50,000-watt formerly Clear Channel stations, WSM seems to wander around and not really know what to do with itself. They are country. They're automated during a long part of the day. They have a talking host. No, not a talk show. It is a country show, but they have a lot of talk and chit-chat in the morning. I think they have a live host at noon, and they do still carry the Grand Ole Opry, but somehow they seem to be wandering around a shadow of themselves. Even since 1996, when I moved to Huntsville, I can notice the change in WSM. Well, for better or for worse, here's a little bit of what they sound like.
Nashville's most accurate and dependable forecast from the Springer Mountain Farms Weather Center. Sunny skies, 89 this afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 for tonight. Mostly sunny, 90 tomorrow. Isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms Thursday. I'm WSM Staff Media Bottles with John Weatherby.
Thank you, John. News and weather has been brought to you by Amanda Esch of Nashville. William Ray and Seven Spanish Angels, the legend, 650 AM WSM. Morning, I'm Joe Lamarty. This is Tuesday, WSM at work, and I've got a chance for you to join us at the Tennessee State Fair.
Now, from the heart of America's Music City, the news and information you need, and true country music all day, the legend,
650 AM, WFM,
Nashville. 76 degrees here in Nashville, the legend, 650 AM WSM, your 24-hour source for news, traffic, and weather. I'm Jerry Minchall. A beautiful day here in the city.
690 is the only Birmingham station you'll hear in this market scope. Their 50,000-watt signal does a good job during the day, although they're gone at night. Years ago, I think their call was WVOK, and I think they were rock, but I'm not quite sure about either one of those things. Today, they're WJOX, which certainly tells you that they're a sports station. They're on 690, and they simulcast on 94.9 FM, which up until maybe a year or so ago was a rocker in Birmingham, and we can actually get that here a lot of the time, but I decided to be a purist and record from the AM. They do a lot of local sports, as well as, I guess, one of the sports networks, and you'll hear a little bit of their local talking. I don't know whether this thing that they do at the top of the hour is a legal ID or not. It is so buried in the music. Otherwise, they don't acknowledge their call letters, and they certainly don't acknowledge 690 at all in their promos. But listen very carefully. Right after the Wachovia Bank commercial, and see if you think this is a legal ID or not.
Mark Richt at his news conference today. We know Georgia plays host to Arkansas. Georgia's a slight favorite in that game. Arkansas is unbeaten and really untested so far. Richt says, I don't know how big a game can get, but this is big. We know it. Seat getting a little hot already for Mark Richt. Big game, and he knows it.
Well, I think Mark Richt believed this team can win the SEC. I think he still thinks they can, but without A.J. Green losing in the fashion they lost in Columbia this past weekend, if he drops to 0-2 in the SEC, 1-2 this early, with everything going on off the field in Athens, yeah, I think there would be a lot of heat. I think Monday conversation around the SEC would be Mark Richt.
Yeah, it has. When we come back, we'll do our upset alert. Chris Vernon at 12:35. Dabo Swinney, the Clemson head coach, coming up at 1:05. You're listening to your interactive home for SEC sports and more. We're the Jocks Roundtable.
Wachovia Bank and Wachovia Bank of Delaware, divisions of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
This is Jocks 94.5, ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Dan Davis. The Yankees and Rays have at each other again tonight in Florida. Tampa Bay now a half game up. Meantime, the Twins open their final series against the White Sox. Minnesota's only two games behind the Rays for best record in the league. Padres held on to first place last night, snapping the Rockies' 10-game winning streak. Same clubs in Denver tonight.
Our afternoon forecast continues sunny and dry. High temperatures up around 88 to 90 degrees. Clear tonight, another cool night with lows into the low and mid-60s. More sunshine for Wednesday and Thursday. Highs anywhere from 88 to 90 degrees. From the CBS 42 Weather Center, I'm Chief Meteorologist Mark Prater on Jocks 94.5.
You really wonder why they're paying all the electric bills for that 50-kilowatt AM transmitter and they don't even want to let you know it's there. Well, our first real Huntsville station is on 730 WUMP, the UMP, and you know that's got to be a sports station. Officially licensed to the city of Madison, which is a western suburb of Huntsville, they have a very good signal here during the daytime, but they cut back and there's other interference on 730, which makes them almost impossible to listen to here in Huntsville sometimes in the evening. They did carry AA Huntsville Stars minor league baseball, and if you wanted to hear the games once they went directional and cut power, you were hard-pressed. Sometime last winter, they got an FM translator on 103.9, and many of us thought, well, this will be a great way to listen to the Stars. Guess what? The Huntsville Stars went to another station this past year. I don't follow sports enough to tell you what else they carry. But here is WUMP, the OMP, Madison / Huntsville.
In the morning on ESPN Radio.
And of course, that season is football season.
Trapping on helmets and crushing the kicker. Sacking the quarterback, smashing his ticker. Watching some games and then eating some wings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Oh, you nailed it. You nailed it. That was perfect.
Hopes are swelling with Revis now signing, but it's Mark Sanchez for whom I'm still pining. This is the year that the Jets could get rings. These are a few of my favorite things. Monday Night Rock
and Lead Pipe Locks.
All my picks are bad.
Football is still one of our favorite things. It's back and we feel so.
Mike and Mike in the morning, weekdays 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 730, The OMP, and 103.9 FM.
It's Mike and Mike.
Mike Gush. That's Commissioner Roger Goodell.
It's Mike and Mike.
Ron Jaworski and the great Liz Swan is with us here.
It's Mike and Mike.
If I see one more guy make a tackle when the other team just gained 2 yards and make a tackle at the line of scrimmage and get up like it was a stop for the goal line in the Super Bowl, I'm going to lose my mind.
It's Mike and Mike.
Greeny, you aggravate me, okay?
It's Mike and Mike.
Don't knock a little cow love till you've tried it.
It's Mike and Mike.
Ah, I should be imprisoned for my idiocy.
It's Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike in the morning, weekdays 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 730, The OMP, and 103.9 FM. The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
It is amazing to me. Sports can make smart people dumb. Sports, because of what it does to us, it's like children, our own children. We just lose all objectivity. Long as you embrace that, sports will never make you angry.
Colin Cowherd lives here, weekdays 9 to noon, on Sports Radio 730, The OMP, and 103.9 FM. From the Sports Radio 730, The OMP Weather Center, here's award-winning meteorologist Marty Broman with your Huntsville area forecast.
Mostly sunny for the remainder of the day. Very warm this afternoon, but not too humid. Our high will be 91, and then mostly clear tonight, 58 for the overnight low. Mostly sunny again tomorrow with a high of 92, and then Thursday and Friday to wrap up this work week. We have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms both days, otherwise partly cloudy with highs around 90.
This is your home for the most exciting baseball in the National League.
Bringing a long drive to deep right field. Will the ballpark hold this one? Back toward the wall. Gone for Brian McCann.
This is Braves country. Bobby and the boys have their eyes on the playoffs.
High and deep to left field. Fair or foul. It's fair. It's gone. Braves lead.
Every pitch of Braves baseball right here.
Huntsville's home for the Atlanta Braves. Sports Radio 730, The OMP. And 10WUMP Madison. W280BA Madison. Sports Radio 730, The OMP. And 103.9 FM.
Now we move up the dial just a little bit to 770 WVNN. And some of you may have DX'd this one before they go to low power at night. WVNN is actually licensed to Athens, Alabama. It's about 30 miles west of Huntsville. I once heard that their transmitter is located halfway between Huntsville and Athens. And indeed, during the daytime, they have a very, very strong local signal with their, I think it's 10,000 watts. But they sure do something at night. They probably send a null to the east to protect WABC. At any rate, here in Huntsville, they're gone at night. They're zero. So they really need what they got about a year or two ago, an FM simulcaster. This is not a translator. This is a full-power FM station on 92.5. It used to be oldies. Now it simulcast WVNN. Their format is talk, mostly right-wing conservative talk, Rush and Laura and all that crowd. And there was a time when they carried coast to coast overnight, but I think another station carries that now, so I don't know what they do overnight. I could hear them on the FM, but I'm not a fan of talk radio, and I haven't really listened. This station has been talk ever since I came to Huntsville in 1996. They used to use the slogan, "The Talk Monster." They don't use that anymore. They have this "Depend on It," which they say so often you get tired of hearing it. So here comes the ID for WVNN.
This is Craig at Precision Defense Systems. We're a full-service gun shop in Athens on Highway 72, 3 miles west of Walmart. We have a good selection of guns and ammo and sell fully automatic machine guns, silencers, the new short-barreled rifles, and we custom-build ARs.
Relocations. That's K-A-R-R Relocations, your professional local and long-distance moving company.
The moving team became like members of the family. I recommend this team to anyone because they're like the A-team.
John's Pizza invites you to join all the festivities at the 15th annual Oktoberfest on Redstone Arsenal. Authentic German cuisine and beverages. Thrilling carnival rides for all ages. Along with fantastic entertainment by Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express. With 5 HD TVs so you don't miss a minute of your favorite sporting event at the Sports Tent. Rides, entertainment, and parking are all included with your admission. September 16th through the 19th. Enter at Gate 10, Jordan Lane South. Visit RedstoneMWR.com for more information on the best fest west of Germany.
That's why you need to see the experts in College Tire. And as usual, you always save big on those light new tires called pull-offs from College Tire. College Tire. On the west side of the parkway, just south of University Drive.
Your news now. WBNN.com. Depend on it. From the First Family Mortgage, 1FMC.com studios, WVNN Athens, WVNN FM Trinity, a Cumulus station. It's 2 o'clock.
From ABC News.
Well, I thought you might enjoy hearing that commercial that tells you where you can buy a machine gun just outside of Huntsville. And the Oktoberfest that they talked about, I have been to the Oktoberfest. It's very nice. It celebrates the German heritage here in Huntsville. It started with Dr. Werner von Braun, the space rocket pioneer, and as I already told you, we are known as the Rocket City. Well, from here in Huntsville, there are 3 Spanish stations that I can get on AM during the daytime on a good AM radio, but there's only one that could be considered local, or at least semi-local. They're officially licensed to Priceville, which is a community adjacent to Decatur. Decatur is about 30 or 35 miles southwest of Huntsville. I told you that Athens is pretty much straight west. Decatur is southwest. And on 890, we have WYAM doing Spanish. They've been doing Spanish for 3 or 4 years. Before that, they were country, and before that, they cast around. There were another one of these AM stations that couldn't seem to figure out what to do with themselves. I can't actually tell you if WYAM signs off at night or just goes to very low power because WLS starts coming in, and that's the end of WYAM. But if you want to hear Spanish on even a moderately good AM radio here in Huntsville, you can tune your dial to 890. And at the hour that I recorded this, they don't even do a legal ID in Spanish, let alone in English, as they're supposed to. So you'll hear the end of one of their rather frenetic commercials, and if you listen carefully, you'll hear 890, 890, or 890, and you'll hear Fiesta Mexicana, but that's all the ID you'll get.
La comida, refrescos, diversión y muchas sorpresas. Allá nos vemos este sábado desde las 11 de la mañana a las 2 de la tarde. No faltes.
Dándole el tiro de gracia a la competencia. Fiesta Mexicana. 890M.
Tim will be back next month to finish his Huntsville Market Scope. Remember, we need your help to produce a real Market Scope every month. Send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. The DX Audio Service membership would be most grateful. Now, the real reason you've just endured the last 20-plus minutes, musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. What a wonderful convention we've just had in Rochester, New York, and I want to thank everybody there, Scott Feibusch and everybody involved with the club, for giving us a terrific time. I really enjoyed it, and everybody else that I talked to did too. CHSC 1220 in St. Catharines had a drop-dead date of August 31st. However, they have been granted an extension pending a later court hearing. CBE in Windsor, 1550, their date is June 16th of next year. That's based on 2 years from the date that they received their last license with permission at that time to leave 1550 AM and go over to 97.5 FM with a couple of repeaters. KMOX St. Louis, by golly, they're going to be carrying the Cardinals again next year. They're going to get them back after a five-year hiatus. And most of us who like listening to long-distance radio at night and like to listen to the ball games are going to be very happy about that.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. The NRC convention was great, and Ernie and I had a nice time traveling. I enjoyed Bob Smith at the NRC banquet stating that radio needs to get back to a local origin with local programming instead of syndication. I have a question. Okay, and I don't want to confuse anybody. For example, WIOD carries Morning in America. The show is usually aired from 5 to 6. WIOD carries it from 5 to 5:45. At 24 minutes after the hour of 5, they say, "We'll be back." WIOD breaks away for news, and then they come back at 5:35 with the rest of the program. At 5:44, Jim Bohannon will come on and say, "Thank you for joining Morning in America on News Radio 610 WIOD. And now it's time for the morning news with Jim Cephalo." My question is, why do stations do things like that? And is there anything that we, the public, can do? And how would the programmer feel about having his program interrupted in that way? And why do radio stations carry shows such as Dave Ramsey, when you never know what time he's going to be on the air? They carry his show, and then Dave Ramsey never tells you what time it is or what time he's actually on. Why is radio so screwed up these days? If you can answer that question, Fred, I would appreciate it.
Yes, this is Camille Petrucca from Weathersfield, Connecticut, and I have an HD radio now, and WDRC-FM has an HD station that plays the oldies from the 50s, so a lot of people like me who enjoy that will be able to get it that way. Their regular FM station plays what I call the newer oldies, which I don't really enjoy quite as much. I had to retire my seeing eye dog at age 13 and a half. She has an adoptive home now somewhere because seeing eye found her a home. And I had no one locally who would take her, but I will be going to Morristown for a new dog, and I will enjoy the oldie station WMTR that's there and probably some others that I can DX. So I just wanted to catch up with everyone and say have a good autumn. Bye for now.
This is Matthew Ellis in Springfield, Missouri, and I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, I think it was, Dale in Kansas City had mentioned he had a CD that he could send out to people who wanted it about the sounds of shortwave, and he gave his email address, but I can't remember what in the world it was. So if anyone could help me out with that, and if the author is still doing it, still saying or not, I would be very interested in having a copy. 73 and good yes.
Hi, this is John German of Elmar Heights. If you want a copy of the complete convention gathering at in Pittsburgh, New York, you can contact me at 607-734-5029. That's 607-734-5029 for the phone number. Or email me at jgerman, that's J-G-E-R-M-A-N, S-T-N-Y, .rr.com. There'll be 6 CDs, one case will have 2 CDs in it, which will be the talks on Saturday morning. This includes the guest speaker, Bob Smith, on Saturday night at Mario's restaurant, and also includes station tours on Friday. So if you want anything of these, let me know at 607-734-5029, or you can just regular email me at John, J-O-N, German, G-E-R-M-A-N, at 222 Linwood, L-Y-N-W-O-D, Avenue, Elmira, E-L-M-I-R-A, Heights, H-E-I-G-H-T-S, New York, ZIP 14903-1759. 73s and good DX.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Joe Schwab here on September the 9th, and it's about 2:30 in the afternoon. I just want to tell you a couple of things. WRJR over in Claremont on 670 is now running urban gospel music all the time and is doing no simulcasting with WCLM. And also over in Earliesville on 840, WKTR is running a southern gospel format and simulcasting with a number of FM stations, a network of them, and it's saying they're playing real music for real life, and they call themselves Joy FM. You know, they were having a lot of ministry and teaching Christian programs for years and years, then they went ESPN, and now they've made this latest change. So that's all for now. Have a good day, and 73s, everyone.
This is Tim Hendel here in Huntsville. I plan to do a market scope for Phil Wayne. I haven't done one in many years, and I'm ashamed that I haven't done it. So I'm going to prepare a market scope for Huntsville. It'll probably take me a month or so. I would encourage other members to do the same. This won't be a band scan. It'll just be a market scope of mostly the local stations. Now, if Phil would like some band scans, I'd be very happy to do that one on a separate occasion.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And as you can hear, we're back here in the Sheetrock Announce booth, having just come back from up north with all kinds of novelties and paraphernalia and spooky things for our Halloween party this year. Ah, it's going to be spooky. Now, let's get into some of the things here on our musings line. First of all, if you would like to muse, give us a call at area code 646-402-5685. That's 646-402-5685. You enter the passcode of 62544. The rules are simple. You have to be a EDXN or DX Audio Service member to be able to muse on the column. Please keep your muses brief, to the point, and also don't call back about 10 or 15 times asking to have more time. We can only give just a finite amount of time, so each person has a chance to be on the musings. So get all your points together, give one call, and that's it for the month. Now let's cover some of the things here that we had. First of all, on the market scope side, as you heard, Tim Hendel said he's going to do a market scope, and indeed he is a man of his word. You just heard the first part of his Huntsville market scope here on the DX Audio Service, and he'll be back with part two in November on the DX Audio Service. So thank you very much, Tim, for that market scope. And just a quick clarification to audio service members about the difference between a market scope and a band scan. A market scope is the radio stations in your town and immediate area. A band scan is DX, and you start at the bottom of the dial, 540 or even 530, and you go all the way up to 1700, giving us a taste of each frequency. But when you do so, make sure you do catch an ID of a radio station and not just put on a buzz and say, well, that's where 1000 WMVP is. No, we don't want to hear buzzes. We want to hear the IDs. So that's the difference between a market scope and a band scan. Market scope is what is in your town and your area. A band scan is DX. To Mike Lance, he asked what the best way to kvetch is about radio. Well, the simple answer is, don't call the musings line. It doesn't do any good at all. Write a letter to the radio station, to the general manager, ask that it be put in the public file, and ask for a reply to your questions. Keep a copy of that letter and send it on to your congressman. And tell your congressman specifically why you have these concerns. Is it because they don't have enough news or local news? Is it because they don't have public affairs? Is it because something that they said or did wrong? That's the best way to complain about a circumstance like that. And understand one thing. The reason that radio has gotten the way it is today is because a lot of people just stood by with their arms folded, eyes closed, and didn't want to do a thing when it started to change. So now it's going to be even harder to change things back. So if you really want to make a change, write a letter.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Well, we're not going to stay silent with this next story, and I wish I could claim this, but unfortunately, Mark Durenberger was the one that found this. And this is simply brilliant. Do you remember this song? That's a song by 10cc that hit the charts, and Mark found on the internet a little documentary about how they put together this song. And I think this is just absolutely cool. So let's give it a listen here on the DX Audio Service.
Kevin said, why don't we do it almost a cappella, using totally, for the backing track, totally voices, all voices, not Beach Boys type of voices, just a wall of sound. I said, yeah? And how are we going to do that? And it was Lowell who came up with the idea of making tape loops that we could run ad infinitum, forever. We'd just run them. So we spent another 3 weeks then recording three guys, Kev, Lowell and Graham, just singing R in the studio onto the 16-track machine. Each note had 16 tracks of three people, if you've got your calculator there. And we had to record a chromatic scale of 12 voices that would fit any chord in the song. We put the tape loops around this Studer stereo machine and then out to mic stands with little rollers on the top so the tape would run through there and we could tension the machine properly. Then I fed across to the 16-track machine and filled each of the 12 tracks with a separate note of these masked vocals. So I think eventually there were 256 voices on these tracks. And at the same time, we'd recorded a very, very simple backing track, stereo backing track, with me on electric piano, little rhythm guitar, and Kevin playing a bass drum on a Moog synthesizer, just to follow it. I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. The four of us actually got around the control desk and started to feed the chords as they were changing within the song, up and down with the faders. And whilst we were doing that, I'd locked all the faders with a piece of gaffer tape, so they're all around about minus 24 on the faders. But because it was a chromatic scale, there was this lovely sort of hissing, breathy sound, like when you walk in a concert hall and people are just talking very quietly, but there's this wonderful hiss. Ah!
All of which probably explains why nothing had ever sounded quite like that record before, had it?
It was a milestone in recording. The production was absolutely beautiful, and the process that they went through to create this epic record was incredible, bearing in mind the time. This is 34 years ago that this record was made. So a lot of the techniques that were used on this record were done for the very, very first time, especially the vocals. Now, as Eric mentioned, the vocals were recorded individually across the 16 tracks and then bounced down. Now, luckily, at the very, very front of this multitrack, there's the remnants of one of the tracks. So this is actually what one of the multitracked voice loops actually sounded like. So if I isolate that first. And that very slight blip you can hear, that's where the splice would have been in the loop. So although you can actually hear the loop as it goes through with the splice point, in this case, When you had the other 11 added, all at different splice points, the loop point would have been inaudible. So now if we start the actual multitrack up, you can hear what Eric was talking about, this sound that does sound like you're entering a cathedral or some hallowed space. And what we're hearing is a result of them playing the mixing console as if it was a keyboard come instrument. So each fader had one particular note on it. So putting, say, three or four faders up would create a chord. And as they knew what the chord progression of the song was, they could go through it bit by bit. They could, of course, drop in and out of the stereo track that I'm now playing to correct any errors in their mixing. So this final track is a result of all those man hours of work. It's absolutely beautiful. The other addition is that there's a second track of the same thing, but played at half speed. So that creates this low octave. This is particularly noticeable on the bit where it goes, ha-ha, ha-ha. And you can hear both the high original pitched vocals and the low octave vocals.
So Eric's using his half speed trick again, which he obviously likes. I don't remember another record that starts off with the vocals being produced and then you playing along with it. But this seems to have started with just the vocals.
That's right, they created a guide backing track just to make sure they mixed the vocals in the right sections with the right balances. But once they had their correct vocal track, they then proceeded in the control room, which creates a very, very different atmosphere, played in the control room the rest of the instruments. The Fender Rhodes. The electric guitar. And curiously, no drums. This bass drum was actually created by a Moog synthesizer. Now, Lowell had one of the very first Moog synthesizers in the country, and he'd learnt how to program it, so he was able to create this unusual soft bass drum sound, which Kevin played, being the drummer, throughout the song. In fact, a real drum kit would have been overpowering on this record, so it suits the subtlety of the backing track. So you're right that they played along to a pre-recorded Ooh backing track, which is unusual. So once they got the backing track to their satisfaction, they then subsequently overdubbed in the traditional sense. So, for example, the other backing vocals were sung to a finished track. So let me isolate those first of all. It's because, ooh, you wait a long time for me. Now, there are many things on this record that people will be so familiar with, and I think one of the most familiar things is the spoken voice. The only time that there's not a 10cc person on this record. Now, this is Kathy, the studio secretary. And once again, to make my job easy, Eric has recorded the effects on Kathy's voice. So what you're hearing is exactly as Eric recorded it, including the fact that it fades out as it loops round.
Be quiet. Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry.
So that's Kathy with the nice voice.
And it is so integral to the record. You can't imagine that not being on there. And just a great production trick. Now, talking of things that are not on there, there's one part of Eric's lead vocal that never made it to the final record. And luckily, they never erased it. So here is an alternative lead vocal at the bridge section. Now, when they came to mix the record, or just before they came to mix the record, Lowell had suggested that they didn't really like that section, so he played the melody on a piano, and that's actually what's on the finished record. But at the same point on another track is Eric's original vocal with some other lyrics. This is probably the first time this has ever been heard outside of the studio, and probably for 34 years. So is that a case of we are so familiar with the finished record that by now hearing that section it sounds out of place? Had we grown up with that part, maybe we'd have got used to it.
Any other little tricks and surprises you've discovered?
Yes, this little sounds interesting. This is a music box, and there's two tracks of it. It was double-tracked. Again, it's another one of those little production tricks that maybe not so familiar to everybody first time on listening, but now I'm pointing it out to you. I think if you listen to the record again, it'll be very familiar.
How did they do that, then?
They told me that it was one of those toy music boxes on a string that you pulled to make it play its little tune, and then by double-tracking it, it creates this very slightly strange Doppler effect. Plus, there's a lot of echo and effects added to it, which creates this sort of somewhat surreal sound. It fits so well in the track.
Be quiet, big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry.
I'm Not in Love was presented with three Ivor Novello Awards: Best Pop Song, International Hit of the Year, and Most Performed British Work. To date, the song's been heard on American radio over 3 million times. And if our calculations are correct, if we allow a full running time of 6 minutes per play, and we run those plays back to back, it would be roughly the equivalent of 34 years of airtime for a single released in May 1975.
The following is an article that was on the Associated Press Wire, written by Brett Zoniger, and it's titled, Audio Recordings of U.S. History Fading Fast. New digital recordings of events in U.S. history and early radio shows are at risk of being lost much faster than older ones on tape, and many are already gone, according to a study on sound released on Wednesday. Even recent history, such as recordings from 9/11 or the 2008 election, are at risk because digital sound files can be corrupted, and widely used CDR discs last only 3 to 5 years before files start to fade, said study co-author Sam Bralowski. I think we're assuming that if it's on the web, it's going to be there forever, he said. That's one of the biggest challenges. The first comprehensive study of the preservation of sound recordings in the United States, released by the Library of Congress, also found many historical recordings already have been lost or can't be accessed by the public. That includes most of radio's first decade, from 1925 to 1935. Shows by musicians Duke Ellington and Bing Crosby, as well as the earliest sports broadcasts, are already gone. There was little financial incentive for such broadcasts as CBS to save early sound files, Bralowski said. Digital files are a blessing and a curse. Sounds can be easily recorded and transferred in the files, requiring less and less space. But the problem, Bralowski said, is that they must be constantly maintained and backed up by audio experts as technology changes. That requires active preservation, rather than simply placing files on a shelf, he said. The study, co-authored by Rob Barnberger, was mandated by Congress in a 2000 preservation law. Those old analog formats that remain are more physically stable and can survive much longer than contemporary digital recordings, the study warns. Still, the rapid change in technology to play back the recordings can make them obsolete. Recordings saved by historical societies and family oral histories are also at risk, Bralowski said. Those audio cassettes are just time bombs, Bralowski said. They're just not going to be playable. The study recommends several solutions, and its findings will be followed by a national recording preservation plan being developed by the Library of Congress later this year. New training and college degree programs for audio archivists are essential to improve preservation, the study found. Currently, no universities offer degrees in audio preservation, although several offer related courses. The study also calls for legal reforms to enable more preservation. A hodgepodge of 20th century state anti-piracy laws has kept most sound files out of the public domain before U.S. copyright laws were extended to sound recordings in 1972. The study found that only 14% of commercially released recordings are available from the rights holders. Later this year, the library will debut a national jukebox online after securing a license to stream sound recordings controlled by Sony Music Entertainment. The more copies of historical recordings that are out there, the safer they are, Brailowski said. The study also calls for changes in copyright laws to help preservation. As it stands now, Brailowski said, copyright restrictions would make most audio preservation initiatives illegal, the author wrote. Dwindling resources also hamper preservation efforts at many smaller libraries and archives. The study also calls for more coordination among preservationists to prioritize efforts and develop techniques that can be used by institutions with smaller budgets. For more details on this story, log on to www.loc.gov. That's all for this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll see you next month as we tickle the turkeys and dazzle you with DX. Until then, 73s everyone, and get out and support radio.